Father God, we thank you for your words. We thank you for the challenges and the encouragement it contains. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will open our hearts to hear from you today. And just to be ready and willing to receive what you're saying. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we've already heard about St. Patrick being the patron saint of Ireland. And how great we've sung about mission and compassion and sharing the love of Jesus. And I think, I think Patrick would be pretty thrilled to know what's happening in here in the next couple of weeks. We've got about 600 children coming through, which is very exciting. Local people from local schools with their teachers and helpers coming into St. Martin's to walk through the Easter story. You may have noticed as you came in, you may not have noticed there's this kind of dead-looking tree on the balcony. But if you pop upstairs, you'll see there is also a tomb. And it's the door. It's a work in progress, so it will be finished later this afternoon. But tomorrow... From tomorrow, we've got three full sessions tomorrow. St. Martin's School are coming in tomorrow. The children will be going around to different groups in the churches. One of the groups will be upstairs listening to the story of the resurrection. It will be dramatised and they'll be able to go into the tomb and see what's there. Very, very exciting. There'll be bread and wine on the altar as we think about the Last Supper, and we've got that lovely reredos there, haven't we, telling us the story there. We're also going to look at the Leonardo da Vinci picture and talk about what happened at the Last Supper. And then the children will also be gathered around the back section. They'll be thinking about truth and lies, the truth and lies of around the Easter story. Who was telling lies? Who was speaking truth? And then down here, all the way down here, will be this long tables of craft where the children are going to be making something to do with the Easter story to take home. And hopefully that will create conversations at home about what they've been doing and about the story of Jesus' great love for them. And can I ask you to pray? Please pray every day. There's in the porchway, there's a timetable of when the children are coming. So it's really important that as a church we get behind us. And I want to say thank you to those that have volunteered to come and to, you know, the juice and the biscuits, and those that have given for those things as well. We really appreciate it. But the whole church can pray. And who knows what seeds will be sown for the rest of their lives and indeed for eternity. Very, very exciting. And for me, my prayer is that the light of Christ and the power of his death and resurrection will go from this place and impact whole families. And they'll want to know more. So, the children are getting ready for Easter. How about us? How are we doing in Lent? Getting ready, walking the path, preparing ourselves for that momentous occasion. What are we doing? Well, we're following the path of Jesus. And, you know, we're increasingly in a secular society that doesn't really connect with that. It's all about chocolate and eggs. But always those things kind of give us a springboard. It's all right, we can use those things to link up with the story. But actually, as Christians, you know, we know that we're following this path, and we really need to be thinking, what am I doing this Lent? You know, how am I offering myself afresh to God? How am I giving myself again to him and making that connection again? What are we doing to get ready? And I do encourage you to think about the Bible study tomorrow if you're able to. I know some of you have other things, and you know, works, education, you know, other commitments, that's fine. But if you're not doing anything, then please think about that. Each of the readings, or each of the Sundays, have readings that kind of point towards the events of the cross, to Jesus' mission, to what he will be doing. And then in today is Luke 13, and we see that the Pharisees, it's almost like, it's a bit out of character here, we see the Pharisees almost pretending to show concern in suggesting that Jesus should change his plans before Herod actually gets to him. And, you know, that he, that Jesus should fear this human king. So at the end of Luke chapter 13. But of course, Jesus will not be distracted. This is why he's come. This is reason for being here. He's not afraid of anyone or anything. And while he's here, we get a glimpse of heaven and the kingdom come in. He will not change his course, and the course is towards the cross. The greatest moment in history, when the Son of God will lay down his life for the human race. It's close now. And that will be the time when he overcomes death and rises victorious, so that those who believe in him will be raised with him, raised to life with him. What does he say? Jesus, he says, as he thinks about what they've said and responds and looks at Jerusalem, he says, actually, yeah, no prophet actually can die outside Jerusalem. That's almost like he knows what's coming and he knows where it will be. He knows it will be Jerusalem. He knew the path ahead, and his eyes were fixed on it while he's doing everything else and responding to everything else. So many prophets had already given their lives in that place, speaking God's word, even when it was not a popular message. The signs, which are the proof of his identity and his authority, are here in verse 32. So Jesus' response to the Pharisees is, go tell that fox, that always makes me smile, go tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow. These are the signs of the kingdom, that the king is here and the king is coming. And yet, with all this going through his mind and the accusations, the distractions, we see Jesus in this moment, what does he do? He acts with compassion. And I love these words. It's like the humanity of Jesus. And we see his heart in verse 34, where he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And he's not about to break forth into song, but he's actually, it's like he's weeping here. You who kill the prophets and stone those who sent to you, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is desolate. And he speaks like this with a real sense of sadness. And this is one of the places where we see the kind of mother image of God, where we see an image of a hen and the chicks. And he said, it's like, this is what it's like for the father to gather her chicks together in a protective way, in a mother's way. And this is how Jesus sees the people who will shortly accuse him. Accuse him of, well, the lies that I've been talking about. Accuse him who are scared, who don't want him, who reject him, and cause him to be crucified as he lays down his life. Maybe this is a little glimpse where he says in the Sermon on the Mount, where he says, love your enemies. This is what he's doing here. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. That's what he's doing here. So today, as we reflect on these events and everything that's going on around us politically and, you know, the craziness in our world at the moment, we remember that God is a God of mercy, of forgiveness, of love, and of compassion. All of those things, when we look at who God is, and we remember, oh my word, yes, even though all of those things, and not just those things around us, but in us, and our own circumstances and situations, even though He has mercy and compassion on me, on the world, on Western, on this nation, on our world. And He looks, as He says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, world, world. Oh, that. I just love to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks. This is the God of compassion that we have. And I'm sure He's saying that over Christchurch, New Zealand, at the moment, with all the terrible things that have happened there these last few days. His compassion. So as we think about God's compassion, His love, His forgiveness, and His call on our lives to be all of those things as well, I pray that we will have that sense, you know, as we walk towards the cross, that we have that sense of leaning on Him, of relying on Him, of holding on to His nature that is so good, and trusting Him when it's tough, and it's a tough path. And that challenge to be more like Him. Not to be distracted, which is what tried to happen here, distraction from His call. It's easy for us to be distracted, isn't it? Not to be distracted from the call to love Him and to love one another. And remembering that He gave us all that we need to do, all that He's called us to do, to live in the way that He's called us to live. So as He gave all of Himself for us, today, we ask, will we give all of ourselves to Him as His arms are stretched out towards us? Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank You that in the most troubled times that You remain a God of mercy, You remain a God of compassion, a God of forgiveness, and we look to You today. As we are so aware, Lord, as we take communion today, we're so aware of the cost of the sacrifice, and we cannot imagine what that meant for You. But Lord, as we receive bread, as we receive wine, as we offer You ourselves, we say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on us, a sinner. Cleanse, restore, and fill us with Your grace and Your mercy to be a people who are compassionate, who forgive like You forgive, who are merciful and full of grace, who love one another. Lord God, fill us by Your Spirit that we might look more like You. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.